I'm going to start with a joke and then a DVD, and then we go into prayer. This morning we are talking about from Numbers chapter 13. I skip that first. When George and I, we first got married, and it's a coincidence that he was praying for the congregation, and then I'm up here. But when we first got married, I have a very good friend. She's my Sunday school teacher, my grade 6 Sunday school teacher. So because we know her so well, we ask her to be our master of ceremony. And as an MC, she has a great sense of humor and also a very natural ability with words. And today, I could recall what she said, a short message that she gave. She's not our speaker, not the message, but she also told jokes. She said there are three kinds of ring, because in wedding, we exchange rings and all that. And the first ring, as a single person, you are wandering. You're wandering, looking and searching and praying for God to supply, to provide the one person to be your life partner. But after you have found the right, and after you wander and you find the right person, the second ring is adoring. Every moment of your life with that person, that particular special person, you adore the every minute you spend together, every communication, every gesture that you made. You are adoring and full of admiration for each other. But the third phase is marriage. Marriage is supposed to bring blissful joy and fulfillment, but we know not all marriage is made in heaven. It takes a lot of work on earth. Marriage sometimes can be a context of joy, but also conflict and tension. And sometimes husband and wife wakes up with wondering, with a heaviness in their heart and sadness and perception that this marriage is not what they imagined it to be, and they are terrified. And they are suffering. So those are the three rings. Ring of wandering, adoring, and suffering. And today we're going to talk about wandering. And we're going to watch the DVD. Let us pray. Oh Lord, this morning as we come before you, we are learning about the wandering of the Israelites. I pray that you will... This lesson is also for us. And I pray that you speak through me. And Lord, that you come forth and with power, with might, and that our lives will be transformed as we leave this place, even after hearing the word of God. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we have been learning the nation that God is building. This is actually the sixth lesson. In the lower story, God rescued the Israelites out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery, to bring them into a good spacious land, actually with vineyard already planted and houses already built. And in the up story, this is the story of salvation. God did not just save the Israelites out of Egypt, but he is going to bring them into the promised land. And the promised land represents the abundance life that God wants to give us. Now, 2 weeks ago, Pastor Bill talked about the Israelites receiving the new commandments and the new covenant. Now, after coming out of the land of Goshen from Egypt, you can see Egypt is there. They actually crossed the Red Sea and they finally arrived at Mount Sinai. Now, Mount Sinai, people do visit Mount Sinai today. And that's Mount Sinai. It's just a very deserty land. And I have been to Israel, but I never visited Mount Sinai before. But my sister, she was saying her tour included Mount Sinai. And she said some of the tour include, you know, you have to get up at 3 a.m. in the morning and then sit on camel at the last stage and climb up Mount Sinai to see the sun rise. So they will take a tour bus to Mount Sinai, and then at the last bit of the below the mountain, they will sit on this camel and they climb up Mount Sinai, and just in time for the sunrise. I wish I was able to see Mount Sinai, but our tour didn't include that. So Israelites, when they came out of Egypt, they traveled, and by the time they reached Mount Sinai, they settled. They settled there for 11 months and 5 days. Some commentators said they were there for 11 months, 5 days. They spent a substantial amount of time there because God did not just give them the Ten Commandments. God also gave them a lot of regulations, how to treat your neighbors. What if there were uncleanness in the camp and what you should do, how to take care of if there are sicknesses, there are moldews in your home, and how to do sacrifices. And they were also asked to construct a dwelling place for God, the tabernacle. And they were also counting the fighting men, how many men they have left, and mostly the fighting men. They were very organized. So at Mount Sinai, they do all that. And this insight, you can read it in the book of Numbers. Now, since they are becoming a great nation, God had to give them guidelines and bylaws to help them when they get into the new land, the promised land. Now, after spending 40 months in the wilderness, let's read today's text. Numbers chapter, not today's text, sorry. Numbers chapter 10, verse 11 to 13. It says, on the 12th day of the second month of the second year, the cloud lifted from above the tabernacle of the covenant law. Then the Israelites set up from the desert of Sinai and traveled from place to place until the cloud came to rest in the desert of Paran. They set out this first time at the Lord's command through Moses. So after settling in Mount Sinai for 11 months, they begin, the cloud lifted and they left Mount Sinai, and they travel until they reach the desert of Paran. The next slide. So this is how it looks like at Mount Sinai. The tabernacle is in the center, and then the Israelite camp around the tabernacle, the presence of God. And there is always a cloud above the tabernacle. And when the cloud lifted, the people will leave. And if the cloud stay, the people will stay. So on the second year, the second month, the cloud lifted, and they have to pack up everything, and they left Mount Sinai. Now, Numbers chapter 11 and 12 talk about the Israelite complaining there's no food, and then they complain about Moses, that shouldn't Miriam and Aaron also be leaders. And then by chapter 13, they arrive at Kadesh Barnea, which is in the desert of Paran. Now, Kadesh Barnea, let's look at the map. It's right there. It's actually the southern part of the land God is going to give them. The land God has promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is considered the promised land because it's a promise God wants to give to Abraham. Now, Moses sent out 12 men to explore and to confirm whether the land is good. And today we're going to read Numbers chapter 13, verse 1 to 3, Numbers chapter 13, verse 17 to 20, and 25 to 33. Let's read it together. The Lord said to Moses, send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites. From each industrial tribe, send one of its leaders. Deuteronomy chapter 1 verse 22 recorded that, then all of you came to me and said, let us send men ahead to spy out the land for us and bring back a report about the route we are to take and the town we will come to. The idea seems good to me, so I selected 12 of you, one man from each tribe. In Numbers chapter 13, it says God commanded Moses to send up 12 men. And in Deuteronomy chapter 1 verse 22, it says the people came to Moses and said, we should send up men to spy out the land. So there are two differing thoughts here. Which is correct? Many commentators believe that actually the people suggested it. The people said, we should go and scout out this land. We've never been in it. So Moses said, oh, that's a good idea. And then God said, confirm it, agree to it. So it becomes like the people suggested and God agreed to it. And it sounds like God also asked Moses to do it. But actually, it was more the people's idea. Now, sending out spies, it's common. You know, when we did the day-night camp for 7 years, I ran day-night camp. We had many places to go. It was actually like organizing tour for the children. We've been to Britannia Mine Museum in the north, as far as Squamish area. And then as far as Langley, we went to Circus Lab and a dairy farm. And then Splashdown in the south and UBC in the west. We've been to so many places. And last year, we went to Fort Langley Heritage Historical Site. And you can look at the picture. Tim is there. And it's common to scout out a place because I've never been to so many of these places. Actually, I've seen Vancouver and Canada through day-night camp. We have to find out where the bathrooms are for the children, you know. And we have to know where to eat, where for the kids to rest, where they could have their lunch. And coming from Singapore, I have friends, they could afford it. They actually traveled several times to Vancouver to scout out the land to see whether they want to immigrate here. And then some of them even came to buy a house and then go back and settle and sell their place and then come back again. They make like several trips to Vancouver before they finally immigrate. So doing all that is common if you can afford it. So Numbers chapter 13 said that the children of Israel, they find that we should go and look at this land, whether it's good or not, and the land that God has given to us, whether it's good or not, and how, what is the condition in that. So let's continue to read Numbers chapter 13. So at the Lord's command, Moses sent out from the desert of Paran. All of them were leaders of the Israelites. And let's go to verse 17 to 20. When Moses sent them to explore Canaan, he said, go up through the Negev and into the hill country, see what the land is like, and whether the people who live there are strong or weak, few or many. What kind of land do they live in? Is it good or bad? What kind of towns do they live in? Are they unwalled or fortified? How is the soil? Is it fertile or poor? Are there trees in it or not? Do your best to bring back some of the fruit of the land. And it was the season of the first grape, the first ripe grapes. And look at the picture, the next picture. Oh, at the end of 40 days, they returned from exploring the land. Let's look at the next slide. So this is how they explore the land. They went in for 40 days and they started at Kadesh Barnea, the desert of Paran, and they went up north and then they came back. So they explore quite an extensive part of Canaan. And they came back to Moses, let's read on, and Aaron and the whole Israelites community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. Then they reported to them and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you send us, and it does flow with milk and honey. And here is its fruit. And let's look at the next picture. They had to actually carry a cluster of grapes in between a pole. And they also brought back pomegranate and all kinds of other good fruit from the land. Let's read on. But the people who live there, that's what they said, are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. Amalekites live in the Gulf, the Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. Verse 31. But the people who had gone up with him said, we can't attack these people. They are stronger than we are, and they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, the land we explored devoured those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim, the descendants of Anak from the Nephilim. We seems like grasshopper to our own eyes, and we look the same to them. So after spending 40 days exploring the land, they came back with this report. Let's look at, and this is the report that came back. The land devoured those who live in them. They saw that, in fact, there were actually giants, like Goliath was from that land, and giants at that time were like 9 feet. So if you're 6 feet, imagine another 3 feet above you. So they saw people of great stature in them. And the land were actually very fortified, wall and all that. And they say, yeah, we saw all this. And if we go in, they will devour us. They will destroy us. We look like grasshopper in our own sight. And if our God is small, their God must be bigger. And this is their report that they gave when they came back. But let's read on Numbers chapter 14. But this is the response. That night, all the members of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said to them, if only we had died in Egypt or in this wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us out to this land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt? And they said to each other, we should choose a leader and go back to Egypt. Verse 6 to 10. Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, who were among them who explored the land, tore their clothes and said to the entire Israelites assembly, the land we pass through and explore is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will devour them. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. But the whole assembly talk about stoning them. Now at this stage, they wanted to choose a leader to bring them back to Egypt. And they were also intending to stone Moses, Aaron, Caleb, and Joshua. How does that make God feel? God was so upset. He said, why couldn't the people still believe in me? Why have they stopped believing in me? And Moses had to intercede for these people, or else God would have wiped them out. And because Moses interceded for the people, God forgave them. But nevertheless, God said, I have to give them consequences. And these are the consequences. The first is the numbers of the days they wander exploring the land, that will be the years they will circle around the wilderness. They will wander in the wilderness for the numbers of days they explore the land. Since they spent 40 days exploring the land, they will spend 40 years back in the wilderness. And since they say, we would rather go back, or we would rather die in Egypt or in the wilderness, they will die in the wilderness. Those 20 years and up, they will die in the wilderness. And they said, our wives and our children will be taken as plunder. The wives and the children will go and live in the promised land. The children will go and live in the promised land. So sometimes their mouth actually curse themselves. We will rather die, they will die. And the children that will be devoured, they will live. And this is how God make them go back. They were actually in number two. They were in Kadesh Barnea already, and they went to explore the land. But then God say, you have to turn back. And they actually just wander in the wilderness, going round and round, not very far from the land that God wants to give them. round and round for 40 years. Now let us pause and reflect. This was the same generation that was there when God sent the 10 plagues. They witnessed the 10 plagues God brought on the Egyptian. They were eyewitnesses to all those things that God brought. And they were eyewitnesses at the Red Sea when God parted the Red Sea and they walked through dry land. And when the Egyptian tried, they drowned. And they were at Mount Sinai and they heard the thundering of God's presence and the lightning and the smoke. It represents God's presence. And for more than a year, 15, 16 months now, God provided them with food and with water, and they saw God's protection because sometimes the enemies came and attacked them, but God protected them. They experienced God's guidance, God's protection. They saw the incredibleness of God. And also at the golden calf, when they were receiving the 10 commandments, they worshiped the golden calf and God punished them. So they saw God's wrath. They literally experienced God's miracle daily. But because they have a slavery mentality, they have not reached the final destination yet. The destination that God promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But then at Kadesh Barnea, they fail, not because God would not bring them in, they fail because of unbelief. They fail because they would not respond to God with trust and faith and obedience. Now, it takes faith for them to leave Egypt. It takes faith because the Pharaoh was so oppressive and would not let them go. It takes faith to believe that God will finally set them out of Egypt. But it also takes faith for them to reach and enter the promised land. It is true that the people living in the promised land are bigger and stronger and the city are fortified. But it is also true that the land that they're wanting to go into is a good, spacious land flowing with milk and honey. And just now we saw the picture. When the spies came back, they brought a cluster of grapes carrying on a pole. It's so large. But the people complain. It shows a lack of faith. 10 of the spies saw themselves as grasshopper. Can you imagine grasshopper? Very tiny. And they keep looking at the obstacle. We are grasshopper. We are small. They are fortified. They are strong. They are big. Their lack of faith breed fear. And fear paralyzes them. And it spreads like an infection throughout the whole community. And subsequently, the negative attitude resulted in a spirit of rebellion. So because what they saw, they start to complain and they started to rebel and they wanted to stone them. They wanted to take a leader to go back to Egypt. They were at the threshold of the promised land and yet they wanted to go back to Egypt. The opinions of the majority doesn't mean it's the right opinion sometimes. Now, the two spies, they came back with this report. Let us go and take the possession of the land now because their protection is gone, but God is with us. They have a spirit of God, the spirit of looking at God. And they were not afraid to try to reason with the people, even though it might mean they get stoned for it. They saw the obstacle, but they saw God. They do not deny that there were giants, there were people of great stature in the land, but they do not deny that God will be with them. So first of all, faith is not denial. You know, there's obstacle, there's problem, but faith is seeing the problem, but also seeing God in the problem. I know we all have problems and sometimes we can see the obstacle and become so big that we cannot see God. So faith is not denial and living in denial and say, oh, there's no sickness, there's no problem, there's no struggles in my life, in my family. But in this church or whatever. But faith is seeing God in the midst of it all. Sometimes, reading through Exodus, Numbers, and reading through the Old Testament, this is a situation that we can actually learn from. Many Christians actually experience wandering. Wandering at either in the wilderness or wandering in our life. And there will be many Kadesh Barnea in our lives today because God actually put challenges in front of us or in our lives to help us to grow in our faith. In the lower story, the land that God promised to Abraham represents the promise God promised to us. But throughout history, God continued to communicate his promise to us that he will be with us. He will guide us. He will see us through. His grace is sufficient. He is almighty. He is powerful. He is there. His presence is everywhere. But we still sometimes say, I want proof. It is in our fallen nature to doubt. We like to hold on to God, hold on to trust, but we want to see everything in place before we feel comfortable in trusting God. But there are promises that we can hold on to. There are things that God wants us to enter to. The few days to enter the promised land took the Israelite 40 years. And 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 6 says that Israel history was written to us as a warning. Let us turn to Hebrews chapter 3 verse 7 to 11. The next slide. And this is the Holy Spirit saying. It says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the wilderness, where your ancestors tested me and tried me, though for 40 years they saw what I did. That is why I was angry with that generation. I said, their hearts are always going astray and they have not known my ways. So I declare on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. This is written. The Holy Spirit is saying to them and to us, it says today, so it's saying to us, do not harden your hearts. Do not be like the Israelites. So everything was written to give us as an example, written to give us as a warning. And this rest, God say, I swore an oath in my anger, they shall not enter my rest. This rest that's spoken, it's not talking about the Sabbath rest where we cease from working, we physically rest and do nothing. But this rest is actually entering into God's promises. Now, God's promises is not wealth, health, and prosperity, but the rest implies that we will cease from our own work and rest securely on what God will do. So if we know God has promises us something, we do not have to keep praying the same thing and keep doubting and keep complaining, but we believe and we rest from the struggles and rest that what God will do, we pray according to what God will do. It was not the feet that kept the children of Israelites entering the promised land. It was their mind. And sometimes, you know, God has promised us a lot of things. Sometimes it's not the actual holding. It's our mind and also our confession. We do not actually believe when we confess negatively. I want to ask you, I want to challenge you this. Do you have a promised land? Do you have promises that God has given to you? And do you have that rest that what God has given to you, what God has promised to you, that you can receive them? Or are you going through a desert experience in your life? The desert experience in your life could be something happening in your family. in your marriage. It could be you're in bondage of some sort. Addiction can be a bondage. Addiction to pornography is very prevalent in the churches, even in Christians today. It could be addiction to gambling, smoking, alcohol, gaming, anything that holds you down. Or even a bondage of you are sick and God provides healing, but you couldn't receive that healing because of the mind and the confession. Are you able to rest in what God will do in your situation? The steps to leaving Egypt is salvation. The steps to bring us into the promised land is the promises that God will give to us. Those two steps, salvation and the promises that God gives to us, is the same. Salvation by grace through faith. Entering the promised land is true by grace through faith. Now, let me show you a few names mentioned. It's hard to pronounce them. Shamu, Shabbat, Egal, Pali, Gadia, Gadi, Emil, Shatu, Nebi, Go. Do you know those names? How about Joshua and Caleb? Okay, the 10 names mentioned above are the 10 leaders that brought the children of Israel to spy the land. We don't remember those names because they brought bad report. But we always remember Joshua and Caleb because they are the one who brought back the good report. And only Joshua and Caleb entered the promised land. I pray we will not be the names that people remember as people that brought bad reports, but we will be remembered like Joshua and Caleb, who brought back good report. I want to challenge you with faith and stop complaining. We want to live in the upper story where we want to believe that all the things that God has already promised, He will do, and we can rest in them. And when we complain and all that, it shows lack of faith. Now, I want to share something personal. Prior to coming to Canada, 10 years ago, that has been 10 years ago, my nephew, my sister's older son, my nephew is like 12 years younger than me only, and he's married with two kids already. And prior to that, they gave us a farewell, and my nephew kind of pulled me aside and said, "I don't know, Auntie, whether you can find a job when you go to Canada, because I haven't worked for 12 years. I was a homemaker looking after my two kids. And then suddenly we wanted to immigrate." And then he was really concerned. George is going to be a student. When we first came, he was under student visa. And then he said, "I don't know, Auntie, whether you can find a job. How are you going to survive?" But prior to that, a friend of ours gave us this Bible verse, Jeremiah 29, verse 11. "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to not to harm you, but to give you a hope and a future." And so I cling onto that, and I believe God has called us to Canada. And I actually have a teaching degree to teach elementary school in the States. I have a license to teach in Texas and New Mexico, but Canada wouldn't accept it. But that's because when I came, God wants me to come back and serve Him full time, and He closes all doors. I try to apply any other job, and only when I start applying to be a pastor, then the doors will open. I receive interviews. So God was very specific. Having said that, for 7 years, I've been in children ministry. And then when I step up to be in the adult ministry, English ministry, someone did say to me that, "You know, the English ministry is very hard, very tough, very challenging, very challenging. I wonder you will fail, you know." And I know English, we are going through a lot of transition. There will be challenges along the way. There will be giants, men of great stature, obstacle in front of us. But these are the few things I pray for the English ministry. And actually, some of it, we can see God is already moving. A few of us ladies, we have been praying for the church, just a few of us, like four or five, every Thursday at 5 o'clock. And we are praying for more prayer to be seen in this church, for unity in this church. And starting this year, we saw more prayer happening at 11, at 8:30, at 2:30, and we are still praying it on Thursday. And we are seeing more people coming to pray. More people are concerned about the church. So God is already working. Though there will be obstacles, though there will be challenges for the English ministry, but God is already working. So do we look at the obstacle or do we look at God? This is my challenge to you as an English ministry. And the second thing I want to, for the English ministry, is I want you, all of us, to be fed with God's word so that faith will arise. There will be challenges as a community, and there will be challenges in our individual lives. But if we have faith, like Joshua and Caleb, we can look at the situation and not be in denial, but we will also see God in the situation and say, their protection is gone, but God is with us, and we will overcome. And that is my prayer for the English congregation, for us. And thirdly, I pray for more outreaches, that we can reach out to more people to come to salvation. And we are going to do Alpha, and I was worried, you know, whether we can get one table or not. And just on Thursday, somebody told me, oh, we are inviting two people. And I said, I'm inviting one. And another person said, we are inviting this person and that person. And last night on a Saturday, somebody said, I'm coming and I'm inviting my friend. And I said, oh no, we need two tables and we need more helpers. So God is already working. Let's continue to pray. Do not be discouraged, English congregation. English ministry, do not be discouraged. Do not look at the obstacle. Look at God and God, what God will do through the circumstance. And that is my prayer for all of us, because the giants will be there. And next week, Pastor Sam is going to preach on how they're going to attack and all that. The giants, the city, the fortified, is going to take effort to bring it down. And that is prayer. But we need that first step of faith to say we will overcome because God is on our side. I invite the English, the worship team to come up. And later on, I want to pray a ministry for individual that maybe you're going through challenges in your life, because I feel as a congregation, we do not want just to hear God's word, but there might be circumstances in your family, in your marriage, with your children, and we need to say, God, we believe. It takes very easy for unbelief to creep in and cause fear and doubt and defeat. But God says, believe, I am here, I'm with you, we shall overcome. Before I say the benediction, let us all close our eyes. If there's anyone here that you are in the wilderness experience right now, in your life or in your marriage or in your family, with your children, or with any situation, challenges in your life, I want you to raise up your hand by faith. By faith. Nobody is looking. I ask that all hands are close. And as you raise your hand, you are believing that God is in your situation. Do not look at the problem. Do not look at the obstacle that are huge, that are enormous, but look at God right now. I ask that you will look at God right now in your situation. You may put down your hand and we're going to pray. Oh Lord, as we go through this passage, it's not just for the children of Israel, but it's for us. The wilderness experience, because they lack faith. they doubted you. And because of that doubt, they start to complain, they start to murmur, and they become rebellious. Father, this morning as we come in your presence, you saw those hands that were raised up. They admit they have challenges, they have obstacles in their family, in their life, in their marriage, with their children or with their parents. We ask right now in your name that you will help them see that God, you are in their midst. You are standing with them and you are going through the problem with them. Give them the assurance that God, you are with them. Lord Jesus, we pray right now for your good, good word, that you are a good, good Father. Help us to increase our faith, to believe and trust in you. Help us to have the spirit of Joshua, the spirit of Caleb, where they never doubt you because they have seen you, they have known you, and they have believed in you. Provide us, the guide us, to go through our problems with you in our midst. I pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the peace of God to guide us and to be with us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.